answer you to. He'll see you through. God is just a prayer away. Meet him each hour, night or day. His ear is never closed to your cares and woes. God is just a prayer away. Meet him each hour, night or day. His love so divine joins his heart and mine. For God is just a prayer away.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, Jesus therefore, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus raised from the dead. It is written, so they made him a supper there, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. It is written, Mary therefore took a pound of ointment, pure nard, very precious, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment.
For God is just a prayer away.
But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, that should betray him, saith, why was not this ointment sold for much and given to the poor? Now this he said, not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and having the bag, took away what was put therein. Blessed are they who do his commandments. They shall claim the tree of life. Into the city they shall enter. They are the victors in the strife. Blessed are they who do his commandments. They shall wear the robes of white. Under the portals God shall lead them, and they shall serve him day and night. Blessed are they who do his commandments. They shall stand before the throne. Into the life of joy eternal, God shall claim them for his own.
For God is just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this gospel message. She did what she could. Now remember, Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Those who are Christians belong to the same fellowship as Lazarus. Lazarus had been dead 4 days, and his body had begun to rot, and Jesus raised him from the dead. we also were dead in sins, according to Ephesians 2, verse 1, and you did he make alive when ye were dead in trespasses and sins. And not only that, but like David said in Psalms 38, verse 4 and 5, mine iniquities are gone over mine head, as a heavy burden they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink because of my foolishness. Ladies and gentlemen, we also were not only dead in trespasses and sins, but our sins made us stink before God. But when we heard the gospel, believed it, repented, and were buried in baptism and arose to walk in the newness of life, as stated in Romans 6, then it was not long until we found out that Jesus himself had made us a supper, the Lord's Supper, and we were all invited to sit at the table with him. Now notice the aroma of the ointment at this supper at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper. Mary, therefore, took a pound of ointment, pure nard, very precious, broke the cruse, and poured it upon the head of Jesus, and anointed his feet, and wiped his feet with the hair of her head. Now this ointment may have been worth the wages of a working man for a whole year. Mary broke the seal, and poured every bit of it on his head, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Usually, if a person has an expensive bottle of perfume, a few drops is sufficient to give the desired aroma. No one ever pours the whole bottle on. It was certainly a lavish display of her reverence for the Lord, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. There is an aroma in the house of worship when the worship is centered on the Lord. In Amos 5, verse 21, the prophet Amos gives us this principle when he says, of the hypocritical worship of Israel, God said, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. And then in the 23rd verse he said, take away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your vials. It seems that there are some worship services where the singing is just a lot of noise in the ears of God, and the smell is awful. However, Paul speaks of the pleasant aroma in our services when he says in Philippians 4:18 regarding sacrificial giving. Paul said, I have all things and abound. I am filled, having received from Epaphroditus the things that came from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing unto God. When any of us contribute to the Lord's work in a sacrificial manner, God's house is filled today with the aroma of the ointment. Now, why was it not sold for much and given to the poor? Consider that ointment was not sold and given to the poor. Then Judas is mentioned as one of his disciples that should betray him. And he was the first to complain about this lavish display of ointment that he said could be better used for the poor. Matthew says the apostles joined in the charge. Mark says some of them did. Judas brought it up, and some of the others followed his lead. Maybe one said, you know, Judas is right. This is a waste of money. But all of them seemed to misunderstand what Mary did. What she did was for the poor. The poor she did it for was Jesus. Remember how Paul told us in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might become rich." What she did was not only because Jesus was poor, he was poverty-stricken. How poor was Jesus? He was so poor that he was born in a barn. He was so poor that at his circumcision, at 8 days old, a sacrifice was offered of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. This was the sacrifice for the poor. In Leviticus 12, Moses said, "And if she not be able to bring a lamb, she shall bring two turtles or two young pigeons." Jesus was so poor that he declared to those who would follow him in Matthew 8, "The foxes have holes, the birds of the heaven have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." In John 7, after a day of debate with the chief priest, "Every man went to his own house, but Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives and spent the night under the trees." What Mary did was for the poor, and the poor was Jesus. Mary did more for the poor than Judas or any of the others knew when we consider when at the beginning of the ministry of Jesus, he informed the people at Nazareth in Luke 4, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has appointed me to preach the good tidings to the poor." And then when John in the prison heard of the works of the Christ and sent his disciples to inquire of Jesus, "Art thou he that cometh, or look we for another?" One of the signs that Jesus sent back as proof that he was indeed the Christ was what Matthew said in the 11th chapter, the 5th verse, "The poor have good tidings preached unto them." Furthermore, actually, what she did was for some poor people who thought they were rich. Jesus told the church at Laodicea in Revelation 3, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and have need of nothing, and know not that you are wretched and poor and blind and naked." Ladies and gentlemen, there is no one who is as poor as a self-satisfied, lukewarm member of the church. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are they that are poor in spirit, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. He that hath an ear, let him hear." No mortal man will ever know the true worth of the ointment Mary poured on Jesus that day for the benefit of the poor. And the poor was us. Now consider the defense of Mary. When Judas made the charge regarding the tremendous waste of money, there was not one in that assembly that had any word in defense of Mary. Lazarus, a brother of Mary, who had been raised from the dead after 4 days in the grave, without a doubt the crowning miracle of Jesus during his ministry on earth, the Lord had held this miracle back until the very last. Even Lazarus did not open his mouth in defense of his sister. Martha said nothing. None of the apostles uttered a word in defense. In fact, Mark says that some of them had indignation against her, and Matthew seems to indicate that they all joined in the accusation of the waste of money. Mary must have felt as though she was being slam-dunked by everybody at that supper. The only voice raised in her defense was Jesus, as he said, "Leave her alone." This should not come as any surprise when we remember how the Apostle John tells us in 1 John 2, verse 1, regarding the Christian, "We have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world." An advocate is a defense lawyer. Ladies and gentlemen, I have retained Jesus for my defense on the day of judgment because he is the best lawyer for the defense in view of the one who is the prosecutor, the devil. Revelation 12, verse 10 says, "The accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before our God day and night." A man who was not a Christian told me one time he had it all figured out. He said, if he could have a good mouthpiece to give his funeral sermon, he would make it. He mentioned a certain well-known preacher, and because I was there, to be polite, he added, "or you." He obviously was retaining the two of us as his dream team defense lawyers. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't hesitate to tell you that that was one sinner that had retained a couple of shysters as his defense team. The only one who can defend you on the judgment day is Jesus Christ, our advocate with the Father. Our deceiver, the devil, accuses us day and night before the Lord. He tells the Lord, "Look at him, Lord. Do you call such a person as that a preacher? I saw what he did. I heard what he said. I know the things he talks about and thinks about. I know things about him no one else knows. Lord, is he what you call a Christian?" Our advocate with the Father replies in no uncertain terms, "Leave him alone. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Now consider what Jesus said about this woman. Jesus told them, "Let her alone. She has done what she could." What a compliment that would be for the Lord to say of any of us, "He hath done what he could." That would be high praise, because many of us have not done what we could. And we need to know what we can do for Christ and his kingdom, because Jesus did all he could for us. Look at his birth. Look at his life. Look at his message. Look at his death and resurrection. Look at his church. Look at the plan of salvation and the promise of eternal life. Can there be any doubt that the Lord has done all he could? We ought to do all we can, not only because the Lord has done all he can, but also because the devil is doing all he can. Peter tells us that the devil is like a roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. The devil has plenty of assistants. Some of the ancients used to argue as to how many demons there were. Some said they were so thick in the air that you could not slip a knife between them. I cannot give any credence to that, but their number is great. Think of it. The devil had a legion of demons in one man. If he could afford to spare that many for one man, there must have been enough left over for the rest of us. There are many roads to hell, and the devil knows every one of them. Any one of them will take you there. You can go the drug road, the perversion road, the murder road, the witchcraft road, the abortion road, or if you prefer, you can stay clear of all these things and simply go down the road of doing nothing about your relationship with Christ. All of these roads lead to hell. You see, you can drown in 3 feet of water just as well as in water a mile deep in the middle of the ocean. The devil is doing all he can. He's working hard on us. He is an enemy who never sleeps and never takes a day off. However, the Christian has this assurance from the Apostle Paul in Corinthians 10. "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able to bear, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Consider again, we need to do all we can, because we surely did work hard enough for the devil when we were on his side. Peter indicates as much when he says, The times past of our lives may suffice to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, reveling, banqueting, and abominable idolatries. You have drunk enough booze. You have spent enough fortune on nicotine. You have missed enough Lord's suppers. You've had enough idolatry. You've had enough lust in times past to give you your fill. It is time to serve the Lord. Many say they are on the Lord's side. Then how come you're still serving the devil? You don't owe the devil any favors. You have served in his kingdom of darkness long enough. One preacher of some repute had several love affairs. Another preacher told him, "You have had enough women for a lifetime. Why not serve the Lord from now on? The time past may have suffered to serve the devil. If you are a Christian, then serve the Lord." The Lord does not expect us to do everything, but to do what we can do. Some say, "What can I do? I am too young. What can I do? I'm too old. What can I do? I'm unqualified." Jesus said, "This woman hath done what she could." So do what you can. At least you can be faithful in attendance at the Lord's table on the Lord's day. At least you can do what you can in contributions. At least you can have a faithful prayer life and a faithful walk with Jesus, an example before those who are all around us. This woman's sacrifice of the ointment has been praised for the last 2,000 years. Will any of the modern-day sports records last that long? What a power there is in faithful service to the Lord. Think of the power of nature. How about the power of a thunderstorm? Then think of the power of an earthquake, the power of a cyclone, and the power of a hurricane. Think of all that sound and fury. Suppose all these things could happen at the same time. All of them together would not equal the silent power of gravity. We don't hear gravity. There is no loud explosion. We don't proclaim, "Hey, look what gravity's doing today." But it's there, and we are glad of it. And that is a small illustration of the silent power of one person or one congregation dedicated to faithfully doing what they can do. And in heaven, if we are awed by the service of a Daniel, David, Peter, or Paul, or other stars like them, and realize that we cannot be a star, we can at least find solace if we only shine like a lightning bug. There used to be a popular song about shining like a lightning bug. Some of the words were, "Glow, little glowworm, glimmer, glimmer. Glow, little glowworm, don't get dimmer. Glow, little glowworm, turn on the AC and the DC. Glow, little glowworm, glow." If we cannot shine as stars like Moses and Paul, at least we can find great peace and solace if the Lord should say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You did what you could." Now, the concluding statement of Jesus is worthy of note. He said, "Wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, that also which this woman hath done shall be spoken for a memorial of her." It is easy to overlook the overtones of that statement. He said, "Gospel preached in the whole world." That statement has overtones of the death, burial, resurrection, the giving of the Great Commission, the ascension, establishment of the church on the day of Pentecost, composed of all who believed the gospel story, and cried out, "What shall we do?" And were told to repent ye, and be baptized every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus predicted all of the above in his memorial of Mary, before any of it ever happened. So it is written, and so was it done. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at this same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul's salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, B-O-U-S-M-A-N, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. Until next week at the same time, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.
For God is just a prayer.